Will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, we come on this night of the eve of our Savior's birth, to remember once again the great love that you have shown to this world. And so in this time and in this place, may your Spirit stir and move among us, opening us up to this great joy and hope and promise and peace that you have made known. May your Spirit continue to move now, that as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So in 2008, the country artist Faith Hill released a Christmas song titled "A Baby Changes Everything." And the lyrics of this song talk about this young woman who is pregnant and expecting a child and talking about how this child is forever going to change her life. And it's only about halfway through the song that you realize that she's singing about Mary. But there is a great truth to that statement, that a baby changes everything. Now, whether you're a parent or a sibling or have ever been around someone that has a baby, you know that a baby does change many, many things. For a woman, not only does it change what's going to happen from that point on, but during the pregnancy, the changes that the baby brings to your body, to your appetite, to all of those things that are going on, to your emotions, to your feelings about what's to come. And even after that child arrives, the responsibility, the care, the nurture, the worry, all of those things, the love that are poured into this child. Now, I'd given a devotion similar to this a while back, and I said that babies change things similarly for fathers, and a woman spoke up very quickly and said, no, it's not at all the same for men. And she's right. But men, fathers, have things changed for them as well. And most men, it's along the lines of the more pragmatic types of things. We don't have an extra bedroom. I'm going to have to protect this child. I'm going to have to put this child through college in 18 years. I'm going to have to do all of these things to care for and nurture and support this child along with my wife. Baby changes everything. And it doesn't just change it for the parents. There are already children in the family. If you're the firstborn and you're the only child, boy, that second child comes along, it changes everything for you as well. And on down the line, we understand in many ways how babies change everything. For my wife and I, we have four children. Our first child came into our family through adoption. We went to the adoption agency and we went through all of the classes that we had to, and we had a home study and all of those things done, and it was almost 9 months to the day that we got a call from our social worker saying, you've been selected. And 2 weeks after that, when Kate was 2 days old, we were bringing her home. If you've ever seen those television commercials for Loves, there's the parent with the first child who has every possible child baby accessory there is and almost needs a pack of Sherpas to carry all of it out the door behind them. And then the second child comes along, and she's grabbing a handful of Cheerios and shoving them in her pocket as she's dragging two kids out the door. We were that first parent with Kate. And a few years later, Anna, who read our scripture for us, became a part of our family. We contacted an adoption agency, went through our classes, and 3 months later, I just showed up to a meeting, and my cell phone rang. And so I stepped out, and it was our social worker. And she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I just got to a meeting. She said, oh, she said, do you think you could come to Indianapolis and pick your baby up today? And that was how much notice we had. And things changed. We'd had reasons why we adopted, because conceiving wasn't working out for my wife and I, until a few years later it did. And unfortunately, that son of ours was stillborn. But we had two daughters after that. And each time, each pregnancy, each phone call, each new child in our lives forever and profoundly changed us. And they changed our family, and they changed the people around us. Babies have a way of doing that. And we come to this Christmas story, and all of those things that we've experienced, the joy, the excitement, the anxiety, the worry, the concern, the love, all of those things surrounded this child that we remember and celebrate tonight. Now, if Christmas and particularly our Christian understanding of Christmas that we heard read from Luke this morning or this evening is a part of your family's observance, you probably have a nativity in your household. We've got one up here, and you passed one on your way in, and most nativities are fairly uniform in the scene that you have. You've got a baby Jesus in a manger front and center. We hear about this child being born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger because there was no other place. And he's flanked by Mary and Joseph, who are watching over him dutifully. We have shepherds standing behind. We've got the livestock, the cow, the sheep, the donkey. All of the characters are there. Now, we don't have them here, but they're out there in the hallway. From the Matthew story, we have the wise men that get brought into this. And these scenes are fairly unique. It's kind of a mashup. We take a couple of stories and put them together, and we have this iconic scene. But all of the people there were forever changed by this child. Mary, a young, unmarried woman, has an angel appear to her and says, "Mary, guess what? God likes you a lot, and you're going to get pregnant." Now, this was not good news for a young, unmarried woman. This meant that she could potentially be rejected by her family, the community she lived in. And if they really wanted to follow the law literally and strictly, she could have been put to death. Because as far as they understood it, the only way for a young unmarried woman to become pregnant was that she'd been behaving badly. And yet, even when this angel of the Lord came to her and told her what was going to happen, that announcement of this coming child forever changed the course of Mary's life. And here we are still talking about her today. This young, innocent, helpless woman who said yes to God and whose life was forever changed when she accepted the responsibility of being the one to bring this child into the world. Likewise, it forever changed Joseph's life as well. We're told that Joseph was a righteous man. In fact, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't want to call her out. He didn't want to put her to shame. He didn't want to embarrass her. But Joseph said, "You know what? I'm done." And he was ready to walk away until an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Joseph, the child that Mary is carrying really is God's. What she told you is true. Not only has God asked her to do this, but Joseph, you're to step up and to be this child's father. And you're going to name him Jesus." This isn't just, be there and play catch with him and be a good stepdad. No, this is you be his father. Because you, Joseph, you will name him, which was the right and the responsibility of a father in their day. He will be nothing less to you than your son, Joseph. And Joseph said yes. And his life was forever changed. In our story, we hear about these shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. Sounds a lot prettier when we hear it read that way. But the truth of it was hard work. They didn't go and clock in and work an eight-hour shift and go home to warm beds and family and fireplaces. They lived in the fields. They watched over the sheep 24/7. Rain or shine. And that was their job. Shepherds of their day were a very necessary part of the economy. They served a vital role. But they were kind of looked down upon. Or at best, overlooked. Heard someone say one time, if a major league football or baseball player never played another game, how would it impact our daily lives? Most of us would probably never notice. Might not see it when you're flipping through the channels looking for something to watch. But in the end, it's not going to impact your life in any profound way. But if your garbage collector never worked another day in his life, how would that impact you? It'd be pretty significant. Shepherds were kind of that type of role that it was vital for society. But people overlooked them and took them for granted. If the announcement were being made tonight about the birth of a Savior, the angels would be going to those people working third shift jobs. Convenience store clerks, truck stop waitresses, truck drivers, people that have jobs that are so vital and important that what they do often happens while many of us sleep. But these shepherds that were so used to being overlooked and taken for granted, had the privilege of being the first ones that God announced the birth of his son to. The angels appear. They sing God's praises, and these shepherds say, we've got to go see for ourselves. And they get up and go. And we're told that they find Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger, just like the angels had told them. And their lives were forever changed. As I said, it's from Matthew, but not Luke, and not the text we heard tonight, but these wise men traveling from afar. We call them wise men or magi. They were scholars, astronomers that had somehow divined from what was going on in the heavens that something significant, something important was going on. And they had to travel and come and see for themselves. These wise men, as we call them, would have represented the opposite end of this socioeconomic ladder from the shepherds. The shepherds worked hard and slept in the fields. These magi, these wise men, show up with gifts of royalty. They had resources, they had means. They brought gold and expensive perfume as gifts for a child. And in Matthew, we hear of them going and finding this child and offering up their treasures and returning to their homes, having had what they discerned confirmed. That this indeed was a child that would be a king. So we have all of these players in place. And into this nativity scene, we find ourselves standing and looking and watching and marveling at this baby that God promised and provided to save this world. And we find that among all of the players here, just as their lives were changed by this child, so too are our lives changed. Because Mary was asked by God to do an incredible thing, to bear his son, to carry him to the world. We too, like Mary, are invited to carry Christ into this world. That we receive Christ and we are called upon to take Christ with us to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our places of work, to our schools, to those places that we never thought we'd go. We're called to take Christ and share him with this world. Like Joseph, we are called upon at times to step up and to be that parent, or at least that parental figure, to a child that needs it. To love a child in a way that only a parent can and does. It might be a neighbor, a grandchild, a student that you mentor. But there may very well be someone right now that is in your life that God has placed there for you to be the one who loves them and cares for them, even though they're not yours by blood or any relation. Like those shepherds that came out of the fields to see this new child, unworthy, undeserving, we find ourselves feeling the same way. And yet God so loved this world that he sent his only son to you, to me, to every single person, from the least to the greatest, but especially to the least, to the undeserving and unworthy. God still sent his son. And likewise to those learned wise men, to the greatest and strongest among them, they were called upon to bow down, to kneel before this child and honor him as a king. This child, this Jesus, changed everything. Not just in the way that babies do. That did happen. He changed everything for those people that were directly involved in his life the way a baby does. But more than that, he forever changed this world. Because God could have set things right in this world by force, by might. This is God, after all. He is the creator of all things. And if he wanted to right this world by force and by might, he could have. But God overcame the wrongs of this world through a humble, fragile, innocent child that we call our Savior. And it's because of Jesus that we have hope. We know peace. We know joy, and we experience a love beyond all love. Because that's what babies do. They remind us that there is a hope and there are greater things going on than what we sometimes see before us. There's an innocence and a peace that a child brings. There's a love that a child invites us into like nothing else. And so may this Christmas season, this remembering and celebrating once again the birth of this child, be something that changes everything for you. Amen.
Amen.